So we always remember the work of the Lord must go on, and the preaching of the gospel, wherever it is the first thought in our hearts. And that the preacher who preaches the gospel must live by the gospel. It's not only full-time preachers, but those that preach, and some of them are sacrificing when about preaching. And we must remember them and find out, even if they what need. So first thought is the gospel of Christ that we are dealing with. So the great man which is Elisha, this man of God, consecrated to God in a great way, he is dependent upon an ordinary person. That's the main thing. Who is living according to the scripture. By the Apostle Paul, how he accepted gifts. And we remember how he wrote the epistle to the Philippians. How he praised God that he had given him a gift. And his mind, these gifts, he was able to itinerate and go about to preach the gospel. And how he should thank people, the ordinary people, we notice, he should give. The same thing in the Old Testament as it is in the New, the Spirit of it. Now, Elisha was a man of God, but he had to be dependent. Remember, Paul was dependent on gifts, and he was dependent on the prayers of the people, always asking them to pray. You notice how praying things. In every church, there's a lack of praying for the word of the Lord to be blessed. In every church, is this. Forgetting that the minister is dependent is not something isolated, something super. He's a person that's dependent, we are dependent, we are, as it were, a church, a body. That each part of the body is dependent upon the other, but our prayers, nothing. But the Holy Spirit shall go before us and prepare the hearts of the people that when the preacher is preaching. So it's not only then in the spiritual sense, but also in the material sense. God's people must be fed. Napoleon said that an army walks on its stomach. Not only do we desire the living bread of the Bible, but we must have to all of us, the ordinary. There is the message. We cannot divorce her. Elisha was dependent. Not only upon the spirit, but also in the natural necessities of life. So Enoch will comfort himself and rely, as it were, on this little man coming along and to help according to the scripture. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Do you do these things? I'm not talking, but be very careful. Only for those that preach the gospel. And to them only. But otherwise, you are helping Paul's teaching to go along. Now, but the greatness of Elisha, we find it in our churches. Remember Christ speaking about the seeds, and when he brings forth some 30% small Christians, don't do much, 60% they greater than the 100, those that are dedicated. Those that think of serving the church, glad to preach and glad to teach. They are great in the spiritual life, all saved, all justified, all great in heaven. But the dedicated ones. And this is where the church stood up. Said one of the servants, what is this fool among so many? This doubt that comes in. Even Moses felt for that, the disciples felt for it, you see. But Elisha was a great man, you see. We all have faith if we are believers, But faith should grow that we can believe in God in every circumstance of life and He can do all things beyond our imagination and even beyond our prayers. But we don't pray. We don't care. So we must change in our heart. We believe that God could do all things. Here we see them giving to the servant, and he said, what are these? Set this before 100 people. But he said, give it to them and let them eat. And what happened after that? They eat. And there was plenty left over. So the people must be fed. Tell them, what is the difficulty in this fair work? I did a lot of reading on this, and many, many of the commentators from the early church and the present day are in difficulty about it here. So he set it before them and let it eat, and let thereof according to the word of God. Was it a miracle like Elijah had when he met that widow in the barrel? And how shall the little bit of meal there? And how would multiply when the famine was on? Or was it like Moses in the wilderness experience when the manna came down? Or when Christ again had a miracle twice, was it not, in the gospel? And we notice the doubt of the disciples there, the doubt of Moses, doubts in many places, but the real person who had faith and no doubt here that the students didn't believe it. Students didn't believe it. Now, stop it now, quick start. You should even know you're born of a spell. Don't think I'm nasty, but I've known him for 30 years from here. He starts, you see. I've got to speak to him. But please keep quiet. You always can be in this therapy. 30 years now. So, lost my theme. What he says in his book on revival, all disturbances are caused by the devil. Every disturbance, when you cause it, the devil at work, then the gospel is preached. And we're going to be severe with these people. So, briefly on revival. What is it here? The problem here is it a miracle multiplying, or was it that the food was given to them for the day? And that they are to live in faith that they will have their food even in a famine. Even in a famine. That we are, as Christ taught us, we must be anxious for the more. For tomorrow, for tomorrow. If we find ourselves about a meal today, and if there is any difficulties, if there is any difficulties, you have to believe that God will feed you tomorrow. So which type of miracle can they decide? So I thought about it. Well, I said to myself, it has made much difference. You see, there's always a miracle. It's always a miracle. When these God's people were in the wilderness experiences, and there was the manna coming down, but then when they went into the promised land, we remember, they came into the promised land where there was a harvest, and the manna stopped. The miraculous as such stopped. But God had provided, as it were. That from heaven had stopped, but that would not continue. So, from that day forward, God always blessed His people when they continued in their will. It makes no difference when the Lord turned the water into wine. It's no difference There's no difference whatsoever when we divide drawers of water into the great and the combined. So the messenger, it doesn't make any difference here to us. God will bless us with miracles and God will work through the natural and bless us and feed us and hold us. There is an old story, I don't know if you've heard of it. I haven't heard anybody saying about it in the last many years, perhaps you don't know about it here. That old lady that was hungry, no food in the house, and she prayed that God would send food for somebody to take her. And some young lads from the orbit of heaven heard the prayer outside. And what they did for a bit of fun was to get some potatoes and pour the potatoes down the chimney. And how she praised God that He answered her prayer, she did. And there were the potatoes coming down like that. So they came in and made fun of her. It was from God, they said. We pour down. It doesn't matter, she said. God can use fools like you. And that's the message here. That's the message. Yeah? I am a man. I am a man. You know, I am a man. How God touches the hearts of people today, throughout the world today, as the church and the poor. That's absolutely amazing. We helped somebody last week from America and go to Scotland and go to so and so, and that person will help you. Forgot all about it. And 60-50 pounds came this morning. And that's happening in my life all the time. God can touch the hearts of people. But it isn't common to drink here, to even get a little common food. And he says about this girl, after I've made my message, and and he says this, and it's a lovely little thought, you see. And he says this, the Lord demonstrated that His power and providence will always be sufficient. As I work in it, see. But what's your thing? God's providence will always be proficient for us, you see. And sufficient. And exceed our needs. And thus assures us that we need not to be slow in opposing evil and root it out and beat it out of that way. So we learn this assurance. And Paul wrote, when Paul thanked the Philippians for sending the gift, and he said then to them, thanks be to God, for God has supplied all your needs according to His riches and glory. And Christians take that for themselves. Now, it's only for those, for the Philippians, and the ordinary people like them, but that sacrifice and the gospel of God shall be spread abroad, whatever means, he said, and we shall rely on the glory of God that will be covered in the means. That's what it means. So don't think for some Christians that especially the 30% that you think it's wonderful to come to church once a week. And if you can't come on the Sunday morning, well, do your best to come on the Sunday night and expect the doctor, the pastor, to do 5 stars for him. It means then that the word of God, the bread of life, is imperative. Show our material. That's what it means. And especially for those that are preaching and teaching and dedicated to the Lord. Whatever way it means. That's why it's not said, it dawned upon me. And this is a commentary that we can be talking, and even Europe may be very commented about this thing. So this is the point. When Peter was in prison, there was a miracle, the angel of the Lord came down and let him out. When the Apostle Paul was in prison, it was a different time, there was an earthquake. Where Peter put on the shield and the shield enabled to walk by faith, and then the Lord, we remember, rescued him and his faith. That we remember Paul writing in the Romans, he's coming to Rome and he said, and his faith will have a prosperous journey to come there. And next thing we see him in the storm on shipwreck. Was that a prosperous journey? Of course it was a prosperous journey. He was able to preach to those people and said, cheer up, get some bread. He has faith. And they were in the shore. And he's able to overcome there and preach what we call about prosperity. And God works miracles even through nature. Everything is a miracle if we are in that. And therefore we notice that again Paul writing to the Corinthians and tells us that we are to give every man according to it as his purpose in his heart to give. Let him give, not grudgingly, don't do it, don't give. You throw your money away. All of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And what happens then? God is able then to give all grace above you, favor upon favor to you. That he always, always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. The Lord is working, it's marvelous. Grace is given to you. God is able to. Wrong with working, the lack of thing, when can we get cheerfully? Now, as it is written, she has a man's always written in the Old Testament, all the way back to these occasions, you see, no different. He has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. God has got to bless us. It's his character to bless us. For he that ministereth seed to the sower, that ministereth bread for your food, not only bread, not only filled with the Spirit, and multiplied seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes us to give much thanksgiving to God. So we don't stir up people against God. God blesses us and we can't help but praising him. And as the ordinary people, so many, that's the point of personal, so many of them come. Throughout the history of the present day, that makes these great people throughout the history dependent upon them. So they're walking together with the Lord, lacking no good thing in their spiritual life, in their righteousness, in their grace, in their service. And God feeds them and clothes them from this day forward. Every means, if it's down the chimney, or given the check, or pennies from heaven, it makes no difference. God's hand is a wonderful hand. Any taking the sack there of peanuts, a handful for you, for a penny. The father said to the little boy, take them. Why don't you? And give you the pennies to get. And coax the boy to put his hand in and have a handful of monkeys. So he wouldn't do it. So the father put his hand in and gave it to him. And reprimanded, why did you do it? Well, he said, your hand is bigger than mine, isn't it? God's hand is bigger. বাণী পাবি দেখে
Five, seven, seven.